Once again, it's a blessing to have Brother Samuel here with us tonight. And I've asked Brother Bryson if he would to come tonight and introduce him. I know he'll do a much better job than what I'm able to. So, Brother Bryson, if you would, please.
I want to say hello to everyone. It's very good every time I come here just to feel the warmth of the church and feel the Spirit of the Lord. That's what I just live off of that. Because like the song we just sung, that we're going to a place where there's not going to be any tears. And the reason for that is because the causes of tears will be gone. And so we'll be there just joy forever and ever. And I'm very thankful tonight that I can introduce a man that I have the utmost confidence in, that he's made that preparation a long time ago, and that he has lived a life before his family and his community that they had a desire to have what he had. I can say that for all four of them, but these two here were the first ones that I met. They had heard the radio program, and we began corresponding for a good long time. And then when we went over there, I believe they were good men before I ever went. But then Brother Samuel, he got to come to the United States first, and he stayed at our house about a month. And I found out that he wasn't just a good man, but he had principles that were a mile deep. And that's the same thing about Brother Paul. I can say it about all of them. And Brother Samuel has been blessed to have, I believe it's about four of his children saved. Is that right? Three of them. And, yeah, got one that's seeking the Lord. And I'd like to ask you all to pray for him. But Brother Samuel, Brother Paul, and Brother Tom, and Brother Frank, they've all done a wonderful job in spreading the gospel among their people. And I thank God for his convicting power. You can feel when you go there. And Brother Samuel is busy all the time. Brother Paul is, in trying to get people into church. They're growing, and I thank God for them. And I marvel that out of all the millions that there are in Ghana, that the Lord would have led us to these three men. And out of all the millions there are in Kenya, that God would lead us to Brother Tom. So I thank God for all of his blessings. So at this time, I introduce to you Brother Samuel Suttry.
I thank the Lord for saving my soul, and also thank the Lord for giving me this opportunity to come to DCS Minister School. I also thank this church. This church is a rare blessing to the efforts in Ghana and myself. I remember that a member from this church, that is Dr. Mike Collins, he was the person who bought a ticket for me to come to the Minister School for the first time. He has also come to Ghana to help some people with his medical knowledge. And also, when I first came to the minister school, on Wednesday, Brother Billy Moran was the first person to let me know a place called Fairview Memorial. So he and the church invited me to stand and preach on the first Wednesday at the minister school in the year 1999. And now the pastor, Brother Jerry Miller, about 4 years ago, he picked me up at the bus station in Indianapolis when I visited a friend in Michigan. Brother Paul and the others were already there, and I went there to visit a friend, and he picked me at the station. we have been friends, and we got to know each other from that time on. And I thank God that he's here, and the Lord has given me this opportunity by the church to be here and to stand and preach his word to you. Easter Sundays back in my country, it's a day that church members of Mount Zion appreciate what God has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we sing so many songs from even this hymn and in our language to praise God and thank him for sending the Lord Jesus Christ to come to the cross and die and has resurrected to make what he promised a reality. And I remember we always sing from this hymn number 164, but I want to sing it in my language. That is Chi, that is his Lord.
Oh, you run, wah, sorry, frewfum, oh, you run. Koto genyi na be koto, te jire ma be pe mwaka, se Yesu, oh, you run. Oh, you run. Oh, you ra, wa sorry, frewfum. Oh, you ra, koto genyi na be koto, te chirema be pe mwaka, se Yesu. Oh, you ra.
We sing to give glory to God, to the Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ. I will now want to turn your Bibles with me to the book of Second Chronicles, the 16th chapter, and I want to read the 9th verse. Second Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. I remember this promise or this quotation is a promise that God gave not only to King Asa, but to you and me about 2,500 years ago when Asa was king of Judah. At that time, the adjoining countries had besieged the small nation and had wanted to make war with him, of the nation. So he sat down to find a plan to deliver his country from the enemies. And by so doing, he sought a king from Syria who was a great warrior named Ben-Hadad. And what he did was he took the gold and silver from the palace and the temple and sent messengers to the king of Syria, that is Ben-Hadad, and told him that at that time he was an ally to Asa's enemies. So he told him if he will break treaty or alliance with his enemies and back him, then he was ready to give the silver and gold, all this treasure, to him. And this the king accepted, so he took the silver and gold, that the treasures, and broke treaty with King Asa's enemies. So he kind of backed him. And from that, God sent his prophet Hanani to him to confront him of what he has done. And this is what King Hanan, prophet Hanani told King Asa. He made it known to him that there was a time that the Ethiopians gathered their armies and they were there to fight, but God delivered them. He also reminded him of the Libyans who also came trying to fight him, but they were defeated by the hands of the Almighty God. And he was asking him whether he has forgotten all those deliverances that God has made for the nation of Judah. So God reminded him that his eyes is on this earth, that is walking everywhere to and fro from this earth. God, from all the years, has made it possible for people to come back to him. God is still searching. And when we look back to the first book of the Bible, that is Genesis, God still sought for his children after the fall. That is when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. The first recorded verse that God asked Adam was, "Adam, where thou art?" So this means that God has been searching for his children or for his people who have been disobedient and who are not coming back to him. God in every way is searching for his people. So I will title this message, "The Restless Eye of the Lord." God is always searching to and fro throughout the whole world. He searched, unfortunately, he saw me in the land or the continent of Africa. And after I had repented, trusted him, and came to him, seeking him, asking him to forgive me, he did it for me in the year 1984. And God, throughout the Bible, sought the deceitful and the wicked Jacob, who had deceived his brother Esau, taking his blessing and so many things with an angel to wrestle with him. And after the wrestling, Jacob asked the angel to bless him. Without that, he will not let him go. And that had him transformed, and he was made to known as Israel. God also, in his searching spree, he seek Moses, who was who has gone to hide in the land of Midian. And through God's searching, he sought him back by the burning bush, who was burning but was not burnt, by calling him to deliver his people from the land of Egypt. God also sought David. He was hiding in the caves or in the desert to come back and to be the king of his nation, Israel. I know that God also sought for a fairy rabbi who was going to Damascus, and God sought him, who was a murderer, and turned him to be a missionary for his work. That is Saul, who later became Paul. So God has been seeking or searching for people to come back to him so that he will make them what he has wanted them to be. He had been doing that. And this is what he has said to Asa. he told him that God needs people to come back to him, to trust him. And if they won't do that, then it means they will know no peace. I remember from then on, King Asa had wars in all his reign. There was not a time that he had peace. And this tells me that those who have turned away from God, sinners who are doing their own thing in this earth, they will not have peace. The book of Isaiah chapter 57, verse 20 and 21 tells me that there is no peace for the wicked. They are just like the waves of the sea, taking death and dumping them back to the sea. So those who have rejected God, doing their own thing, who will not come to the Lord, will not have any peace. They may be doing things, you see them and you'll be thinking, oh, everything is okay with them, but inwardly, they will tell you that they don't have the needed peace that passes all the understanding which only Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord, can offer. So those without Christ, they are not having any peace. They are there in this earth. They are having so many troubles because they don't know the eternal King. They don't know the King of Peace, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, in his own way, wants us to come to him. Some people may ask, how can we find God? Christianity has made it known that it is rather God who has found us through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has found us. So you are not going to search for him, but he is rather searching for you, and he wants you to come to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look back to the quotation that I quoted in the book of Chronicles, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. God wanted to help people. He wanted to help sinners who are lost. And somebody will tell you that if God wanted to help those who are perfect, then count me out. I'm not perfect. People are having problem with the word perfect, which they think it means flawless and things that are okay. But God, in the in the new edition, in the Bible of King James, says that perfect is made complete. That is bringing us back or being surrendered. God wants us to come to him. He wants to make things right with us. I read a book back in my high school days by a writer called Chinua Achebe from Nigeria. He wrote a book which called Things Fall Apart. And it is just like there is a falcon and a falconer who directs this bird to do whatever he wants it to do. But unfortunately, it came to a point that the bird was so far away that he couldn't see the falconer and his directions. So it was doing its own thing. And the writer was saying that things fall apart, the center cannot hold. A mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. That is, there was no communication with the falcon and the falconer. God wants us to come back to him, just like an aeroplane and the radar. If there is no communication, then there will be problem. That is what is happening to people. They have lost contact with their maker. They are doing things on their own, and things are not going right. If you, nobody can live right without Christ. It is only Jesus Christ who can help you after you have turned your life back to him. He will give you eternal life. So God wants us to come, wants us to be perfected. When we surrender to him, he will save us and give us the robe of righteousness. God tells us that in the book of Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6, that all our righteousness, our own righteousness, is just like 50 rags before him. There's nothing that we can do on our own. This reminds me of Naaman the leper. After the servant whom he has brought from Israel to live with his wife has told him that when he is in their country, Israel, one of the prophets who have prayed for him and healed his leprosy. Unfortunately, when he was going to the Israelites or the nation Israel, what he did was he went to Jeroboam, who was the king at that time, the unrepented Jeroboam, I will say that. Instead of going to the right person, one of the prophets, the representatives of God, he went to the wrong person. People are going to the wrong place. Instead of coming to the Lord, instead of hearing the gospel and repent after they are being convicted and ask the Lord to forgive them, they are going to people who just ask them to raise up their hands. People who just pray for them and tell them that they are saved. I would say that they are being saved through the announcement or pronouncement of the preacher. And this is not what the Lord Jesus Christ has asked us to do. He wants us to come to him. There's no name that can save anybody but the name the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. No man can go to his Father except through him. So it is only the Lord Jesus Christ who we can come to and who will help us with his power and with his might. That is what he is telling King Asa, that he should have come to him instead of relying on this pagan king, King Hadad. He should have come to the Lord because you have trusted him. He has helped you in so many ways. Why should you now turn to a pagan king? What can he offer you? What can he do to help you? After he had done what he did, God told him that he will know no peace. And he had no peace until he had a disease on his foot, and that sent him to his grave. It is only God who can help you. And why should we come to him? Because what I quoted tells us that God wants those whose hearts are perfect in him so that he will help them. It is true that God wants to help us. God, who has put the planets spinning around the sun to show his power. God, who has resurrected the Lord Jesus Christ from the grave, is taken out from the tomb, whose power and might cannot be talking about, want to help you. He wants you to come to him so that with the power and might that he has, he will help you. In the book of Malachi, God tells us that not by our might, nor by anything that we can do, but by his spirit. God can help us through the spirit that he has sent to this world. God wants you to come to him so that he will help you. So why take a stand and do your own thing? We have done so many things, but it has not helped us. I know God has blessed this country. Anything that you have is here. We were not privileged to have even one-tenth of what you have over here, but that did not buy it from going to the Lord Jesus Christ, because heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall not pass away. He knows that you are just like 50 rags, but he wants us to come to him. That is why he's searching every day. And now, as I'm speaking to you, his eyes are here, searching for anybody who respond to the gospel message that I'm preaching tonight and come to him, that person will be perfected. God will make things right with your soul. And after doing that, God will help you. God has helped us in so many ways. I remember when I heard Brother Bryson on radio, and I was convinced that what I've got is what he was preaching. I asked him to come to Ghana and help us because our people are being deceived. Though there were missionaries coming from this country down to Africa, and they are doing the same thing that our preachers are doing to deceive people. They will come, have outside revivals. Many people will turn to that place, and they will call people, come, and we will pray for you. Those who want to know the Lord Jesus Christ will come forward, and they will ask the people to raise up their hands, and they will pray for them, and they will tell the people, all these people are saved, and all these people are going to heaven, which I know is a deception. When I learned that Brother Bryson preached the true gospel and he asked his listeners to seek the Lord till they find him, I got interested. I corresponded with him so many times as he was telling us, and I told him to come to Ghana. But do you know what he told me? He said he will only come when the Lord gives him the green light. So the green light was not given after we have corresponded for about 5 years on 1997, January, that the green light was given when he was going to Mount Zion Church in Holland, Kentucky. Coincidentally, that was the day that the Lord made it known to him that he should come to Ghana. And truly he came, and we had outside revivals, and people came. And after preaching, they saw white men bowing down with those at the altar and praying alongside to God to help them. They did not tell anybody that you are saved, but they want to hear those whose burden has been lifted, those who have been saved, to give their own testimonies, to tell people what God has done for them with their soul. That is what we know is the truth. But others are not doing that. But I tell you, that is what God done through him. And Mount Zion Church was established in the year 1997. And I'm grateful to the Lord that he has saved so many souls over there. And about three churches in addition has been added to Mount Zion Church. And some missions are also been coming up. We thank God, even for my family. He has saved three of my daughters. And he's still helping me because I have lost ones in my family. Five kids, three girls, they are all saved, but the boys are not. I need your prayers. I know that the Lord, who has shown his power and mercy and love to me, will want to continue till he comes. And I know that he is still searching. Some people will say, Lord, I am not a person that you can save. He sought for David, and you knew what David did. He had an affair with Bathsheba. He sent a death warrant through Uriah to be killed at the war front. So many things, and so many things happened to his family, but he was the friend of God. God saved him. God delivered him. God showed him his power. What God hates is sin, but he loves the sinner. He wants you to come so that he will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That is the first book of John, chapter 1, verse 9. If you come and confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God wants you to come so that you trust him, so that he will show you his power. He will show you his might in a lively way, in a gracious way. Day to day, God will never leave you. He will always be with you. He has given us access to him 24 hours. You can pray to him. You can talk to him. You can ask him what he should do for you, and God, in his might and power, will do for you. So God is telling you that trust not the chalice, trust not the cars and the beautiful things that you see. They will not last long. It is only Jesus Christ who can give you eternal life. So if you trust in chalice or in anything, very soon you will see that they are all gone. If I ask you, I was in a restaurant about 2 years ago, and I saw an old car. When the man was about to crank it and take it along, I had conversation with him and asked him how old was the car, and he said he has used the car since 1935. But I don't think any of us here, the young men, would like to own that car. We want to own new ones, but not the old ones. But this man is happy with his own car. But I tell you, as years has come by, this car is worn out. That is how this world is. We will leave it, and when we are going, we will take nothing alongside. It is only those who are saved that will be going to heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want us to go to hell. Hell is a place that God wants us not to go there. In our language, hell has a name. That is Bonsamjim. Bonsam means Satan, and fire means Eja. This shows that hell was prepared for Satan and his angels. Why would you want to go there? Why would you want to go there? That is God. Why God is searching for you. And Jesus made it right when in the book of Luke chapter 19, verse 10, he said, the Son of Man came to seek and find those who are lost. Jesus Christ came to seek so that he will find you. That is what God has done throughout all these years. His eyes are still searching. And if you are here tonight and you are lost, God is searching for you. He has not stopped since the time of King Asa. He has done it so many years before King Asa, and he is still doing it. In the book of Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, God tells us that whosoever will should come. God wants you to come. And the bride say, come. God wants you to come to him. In the last book, he started with the first book, and he ended in the last book. He had been searching all these years, and he is still searching for you. He wants you to come. Why? Because he wants to help you. God has done the searching with his word. When we read the Bible is the vehicle through which God contacts us. God made it known where we have been, that whether we are lost or whether we have been on the other side, where he has called us and we have not got us. So he searches in man's heart with his word. That is the word of God. God also uses his spirit to search. And also he uses the things in this world. I mean, sorrow, illness, discouragements, and other things for people to know that there is a savior. There is somebody who can help them. If you are diseased, if you are going through solo, and you don't know anybody who can console you, anybody who can comfort you, there is a man that can do it, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you come to him, he's ready to help you. So he wants you to come. Don't be at a place where he cannot reach you. You have come to the right place. So if you will just come to the Lord and ask him to forgive you, there are good sisters and brothers here. They will pray alongside so that the Lord will have mercy on you. Why don't you do it tonight? Why don't you do it as you have come to a place where you are not far away from God, where God can reach you? He is self-searching, and he wants to help you. So if you come tonight, he will do it for you. And I thank God that he has done for us back in the land of Ghana in Africa, and he's still searching for people over there. And I know that those who will repent, humble themselves before God, will also see and know peace. So if you do that, you will also know peace. And I thank you for tonight, for listening to me. I'm turning back the service to Brother Jerry. Thank you.
Well, I certainly appreciate the good message. Thank God for the truth. If you're here tonight and you're lost, if you'll come to the Lord, He will help you. Whatever that anybody is ever searching for, you know, when people have, when the people of God have things that they are searching for, you know, sometimes we need to get back in the will of the Lord. Sometimes we get away from Him. And I have found out in my life that if I'll truly search the Lord for those things, He will help us. He is a very present help in trouble. And so if you're here tonight and you're lost, the Lord, He's the only way. And I appreciate so much the message tonight. And we're going to have a song here in a moment, and if Brother Carlock, if you would get a song ready, we'll have a song here in a moment, and I want us to come around and shake hands with Brother Samuel. But I want to say again that I have appreciated him so much, and do appreciate him, and I have enjoyed the time that I've been privileged to spend with him over the past few years, but it hasn't been a whole lot. We live quite a few miles apart, and we haven't got to spend a whole lot of time together. I got to spend a little bit of time with him in Indianapolis and have him preach there at Fellowship when I was pastoring there, and I've always loved his, there's just a gentleness about him, just a gentle spirit, and I've always just loved that so much, being around him, and him and these other brethren, they've always been so kind. They've been so kind towards my wife and I, and given us several gifts. Brother Samuel gave me this beautiful tie, and I promised him I'd wear it tonight, and I did. And I'm just thankful to him for his love that he shows and his kind and gentle spirit. But as I said, you know, we don't get to see each other very often. And sometimes when these brethren are here during the minister school, they get busy and they go in a lot of different directions. And sometimes I don't even get to spend very much time with them while they're here for that. But I got so caught up tonight in the message. I mean, it just captured my attention tonight. And I had a verse of scripture come to my mind, and I'm just going to read this verse of scripture from Revelation 7, verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. And verse 10 says, they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. No matter how much time or how little time that we may get to spend together here, we're going to meet one day in eternity. And time won't be a factor anymore, and distance won't be a factor. And what a great meeting that we really will be in. So let's stand and have a song. And Brother Samuel, if you would come up front here, and I want to give everyone the opportunity to come around and give you their hand of fellowship. And let's let him know by this that we're praying for him.